Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
This is Athens News Matters from WUGA News. I'm Alexia Ridley, and today joining me to discuss the weekend news and politics are Blake Odd from Flagpole Magazine, Gwen O'Looney from WXAG, and Chris Dowd from Athens Politics Nerd. So let's start first off with the Mayor and Commission spending a day and a half this week on their budget retreat, basically starting the process of putting this year's budget together. Gwen, this has been something you've been involved in. Give us sort of the lay of the land about what they're doing right now.
Well, I think this is a very important step that's been added to the budget process, and that the commission is meeting with the mayor early to work with him on setting the priorities. And then that way, when he is developing his recommended budget, which is due usually early April, mid-April, then they will they'll be together more. There will be less work in the future, because they have started together in talking about things. The mayor still has the right, of course, to introduce things that haven't been agreed upon, and the commission, I'm sure, will find things as they move along.
The commission has highlighted four big priorities for focused attention. So, Chris, can you tell us what those budget priorities are?
Yeah, their priorities are public safety, workforce development, homelessness and affordable housing, and community engagement. And I know public safety was a big issue last year, and so that's kind of a continuation of that, I believe. And then workforce development and affordable housing are sort of just really big challenges. And as far as community engagement, that one kind of surprised me that it made a list of four, because I think our community engagement right now is pretty good, actually. And I think Jeff Montgomery, you know, is doing a great job working with Kelly Gertz to make those regular videos that they're putting out. So I think that they've actually really improved on that over the past few years. So, and I'm glad they're continuing to, because it is important.
I agree with Chris. They've done an excellent job of using the tools that are most effective during COVID to keep open communications. All of their meetings, et cetera, from the audit committee on, are on YouTube. So I think we're in great shape with community engagement. I am very interested in them looking at not defunding police, but maybe adding hope to our police having a different, less militaristic, less gun-oriented approach to events.
Well, one thing I know that that Mayor Gers wants to do is he wants to actually raise pay for police, which I think will help them attract better candidates and retain their best officers, because there's always been a lot of turnover in our police department because it doesn't pay very well, and a lot of officers start their careers here in Athens and then move on to someplace like Atlanta or the Gwinnett County Sheriff's Office, where the pay is higher. So we lose quite a few officers on an annual basis.
And that has been happening. They've been scalping us, they call it. They've been scalping us since the 80s. We have had to compete with much richer counties, and they see Athens as an excellent training field. We definitely have competition, and I don't know if we'll ever get to where we can compete with them.
And another thing that's being discussed is bringing in more mental health specialists. Right now, they started out with one team and then added a second last year, where they pair a mental health professional with a police officer to kind of help people who have mental health issues navigate the system. So they could add some more of that type of thing to the department.
I would like to see an assessment of how well they've been used to avoid escalation of events. I think that's really important for us to look at on how they're being, you know, how easily accessible they are and how wanted they are by our police.
Do we have any idea about the budget process, about how we're doing locally with revenue, especially with sectors like our service industry still struggling?
Well, the projections last year were pretty optimistic. The manager Williams didn't seem to think that the county was going to lose a whole lot of revenue. And as far as I know, that still holds true. We haven't seen the budget projections for the coming year. I wouldn't imagine they'd be much different. I think their tax collections have been pretty steady. They rely a lot on property taxes, and those haven't really been affected by the economy. Property values are still continuing to rise at a pretty good clip. So I think they're in pretty good shape. And then once you also factor in some of the federal assistance that they got last year, and there should be some more coming down the pike to kind of backfill any holes that they might have.
I want to move on to the Bethel Midtown Village redevelopment. So this week, we did see a draft plan for that redevelopment, and the public has a chance to look at the plan and comment before February 19th, before the commission is expected to vote in early March.
Well, this is a really major project that's going to essentially extend downtown about five blocks to the north of Doherty Street. And what they're going to do is in phases, they're going to tear down Bethel Midtown Village and the public housing at Hoyden College. And they're going to replace that with a much denser development that's going to have about 700 to 850 apartments, as well as some retail space, possibly a new health clinic. And then something will be done at some point, not sure what yet, with the planning department building, and Denny Tower will probably also be rebuilt as part of that as well down the line. It's going to be two-thirds below market rate housing and one-third above market rate. So there will be twice as many affordable units as there currently are on that property, probably more than twice just because of the density involved, but at least two times as many. And this has been done with, even with the pandemic, they got a lot of the team behind this, the Housing Authority and Columbia Residential, which is their private developer partner, done a lot of outreach in the community. And the commissioners were very happy with the amount of input that they've already gathered, especially from the residents who currently live there. And one thing that's important to note too is that this is going to be done in phases. And so most people who live there are going to be able to stay during the construction process. They might kind of be shuffled around within the development, where they'll have to tear down one part, then build a new building, and then put some new people from the old building, move them into the new one, things like that. But everyone who lives there is guaranteed to be able to have a place in the new development. Everyone who currently lives there will be able to continue living there at the same rent that they're currently paying.
What they've used is essentially the basic village concept. So I think that's good. I think we need to be looking, though, at Columbia Richmond to look at its numbers and how well it's done as far as transients is concerned, as far as vacancies are concerned, to see if the approach that we're using needs to be adjusted in any way. I think we have to be really careful. This is a huge, as he was saying, five blocks of development, and we want it to be a successful residential mixed community. And that's a big step for our downtown.
It's a big change. I agree that they should look to what happened in Columbia, Brookside, and try to improve upon that if they can. So right now, if you're on Doherty Street, you're pretty much on the north end of downtown. But after this is all built, you're going to be in the middle of downtown on Doherty Street.
When you put it that way, it's easier to visualize.
Well, one thing that I think is really great is they're going to be restoring the street grid. when Bethel was built back in the 60s, the early 60s, and this happened in other parts of downtown too, you know, they really messed up the street grid. You know, you can look at the federal building over off Doherty near Thomas as another example of that, where the streets just kind of dead end. You know, when you have like little blocks that are remnants, but there's not a grid anymore. So they're going to straighten out Lumpkin and have an actual true street grid through this area, which will make it really integrated into downtown. There's going to be a public art component with a connection to the planned art walk on Jackson Street leading to the Linden House. And there's going to be a connection to the Greenway on Pulaski Creek.
And Blake, we're going to let you have the last word there because that is our time for this week. I do want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Chris Dowd.